today we're going to be able to share the story, the Christmas story, the greatest story ever told, and we're going to see it predominantly through song, through music. You know, the music that we sing, the music that we listen to, it reveals our thoughts. It reveals not only our minds, but our hearts. If you listen to a culture's music, you can see what they value. And if you listen to music about God, you can learn a lot about Him. And so today we're going to see, as we walk through music together, as we sing music together, this beautiful, beautiful story that many of us have heard many times. But my hope for you today is that you'll be reminded not only of the beauty, but of the power that is behind the birth of Christ. You see, when Jesus was born, there's a big fancy word for that called the incarnation. That means when God became a person, when God became flesh, when He came down to our world. And the beauty of the incarnation is this: God is not scared of our realities. God is not scared of what's going on in our life. God's not scared of the ugly within our lives, even within our own hearts. In fact, when God was in heaven, when He looked down on His creation, and when He saw the darkness, when He saw darkness creeping absolutely everywhere, and He saw the brokenness, He wasn't scared of that. Instead, the Bible tells us this, looking forward to the birth of Christ. This is centuries and centuries before Jesus was born. The prophet said, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." You see, God is so unafraid of our reality. God is so unafraid of our culture, of our world, that the very name that He gave His son, Emmanuel, means God with us. And then a little bit later, the prophet says this. He says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who have dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." Have you felt like you've been walking through darkness lately, old church? "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." You see, church, Christmas reminds us that God's people have always put their hope in Jesus. Christmas reminds us that if we place our hope anywhere else, it's going to be shaken. This year has taught us that if we place our hope anywhere besides Jesus, it will be shaken. But Christmas calls us to place our hope in the unshakable, Christ Himself. What I want us to do just right off the bat is I want you to think about this. What has happened? Maybe this past week, this past month, this past year, what's going on in your life that is causing your hope to be shaken? Maybe that's a medical issue. Maybe you're getting ready to walk through Christmas for the very first time without a loved family member or a dear friend with you. Maybe the celebration of Christmas has reminded you of all the financial troubles you've had this year because you lost your job. Whatever it is, place that. Picture it. Picture it in your mind's eye right in front of you. Whatever it is that threatens your hope right now. And then I want you to do what God's people have always done. I want you to look towards Jesus. And I want you to say the same prayer that they have said for years and years and years, for centuries. God's people have prayed this very simple prayer. "Oh, come, Emmanuel, the promised one. Oh, come." Let's pray this together. "Oh, come, Emmanuel."
Captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, O Son of God Most High, deliver us from sinfulness and pride. Restore in us a childlike heart to consecrate and set us apart. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Savior of this world, the long-awaited promise you foretold, and right the wrongs that man has done, we pray your glorious kingdom come. Rejoice, 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 Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Shall come to thee, O Israel.
And so God's people have prayed for centuries, O come, Emmanuel. And then the prophet Isaiah, as we've already mentioned, he promised, he says, God hears your prayers, and Emmanuel shall come. And so God's people continue to pray, oh, come, Emmanuel. And then one night, God answered that prayer. Now, in God's answer to that prayer, in this greatest story that's ever been told, in the story of the birth of Christ, God wanted to announce that. He wanted to make a big deal out of that. This is what God's people have been looking for and have been longing for years and years, for centuries, for millennia. And so God sends his angel to make this announcement of good news, of great joy. Now, if you were going to announce the birth of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus, if you were going to announce to the entire world what you've been praying for, it's happening right now. Who who would you announce that to? Would you announce it to a king or to an emperor that he could proclaim the message throughout his empire? Would you announce it to generals and the armies and the soldiers so that they could take that message with them on their conquest? Would you announce that to the merchants? Would you announce that to the bankers? Because they would have the networks and the connections everywhere. You see, if God had announced it to them, people, you and me, we would be too intimidated to come to Jesus. If Jesus had a conquering army before him, who knew if when people came to him, would they come out of joy or would they come out of fear? Out of fear of what might happen if they don't. And so instead, God makes this announcement of the ages, to a group of shepherds out in the field at night. Imagine with me. Imagine you're one of those shepherds. Society has excluded you. People don't trust you. People don't believe you when you say things because shepherds have this reputation. As they travel around, they kind of help themselves to the goods around them. They never stay in one place. People don't really know what to make of them. The religious folk would have long kicked them out because they don't follow all of the different observances and rites and rituals of the religion. Imagine you're one of those and you're sitting out in your field at night with a few of your other shepherds. You've just gotten the animals down. For the most part, they're sleeping. They're all fed. You hear a few noises here and there. But then suddenly, in the middle of the night, a light fills the sky and an angel appears. This is what the Bible says. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I would be filled with great fear too. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Not for some people, not for most people. It will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. This is how you would know that the Messiah is there. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then the Bible tells us a whole host of angels, a whole choir appeared. And they sang in front of this group of just a few shepherds. They sang and gave praises to God. What must that have been like? What do you think that sounded like that night? If you were there, what would you be hearing and seeing and feeling? I wonder if it sounded something like this. To raise.
Christ, the sons of earth, born to give the second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. King of heaven, King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who could stand against us? You are strong to save, mighty in your name. King of heaven, come. Christ, my highest heaven adore. Christ, the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come. Offspring of a virgin's womb. While he lay his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give their second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come down. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who could stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come.
Lift him up. Come on, give him your praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And so we sing glory to the newborn King. We pray, King of heaven, come down, and we celebrate the fact that God came down and was born. Now, where was he born? If the King of heaven were to come to this earth, where would he want to be when he was born? In the cleanest hospitals with the best staff there? Would he be born in a palace fit for a king? No, he wasn't born there at all. You see, his parents, Mary and Joseph, they had to travel back to Bethlehem. They had to travel to Joseph's hometown to register for the census. Did you know they had those things back then too? Some things never change, I guess. And while they were there, Mary was already expecting. The time came to deliver this child, to deliver Jesus. And so they go to the inn. There's the community center of the day. And because everybody else is back in Bethlehem to register for the census, there's no room for him. And so the innkeeper, he does the best thing he can do for him. We got a barn out back. Y'all can go out there if you'd like. And so the King of heaven, the Savior of the world, was born and laid in a manger, not unlike this right here. Now, as Mary and Joseph were gathered around this child, you see, they had already been told that there's something special about their son. They had already been told that Jesus, he would be the one that would rule the nations, that he is the Son of the Most High God. And as they were preparing, they had to ask each other, and they had to wonder with each other, what's that going to be like? But as every parent knows, what you expect having a baby to be like and what it is like is very, very different. Imagine those first couple days with baby Jesus struggling to open his eyes, with him being fussy and hungry and sleepy all at the same time. Imagine Mary and Joseph up at night because Jesus won't sleep. Mary would nurse him, care for him. They would both clean up after him, try to meet all the needs that every baby has. And I wonder, I wonder, as they thought about the expectation, as they thought about what the angel had said to them about who Jesus would be, and then as they looked at him, as they held him and rocked him and cared for him, I wonder how many times they asked this question. And it's the question that we all have to ask ourselves at one point in time or another. In fact, it's the most important question in the world, most important question that could ever be asked. I bet they were holding that baby and they had to ask themselves, what child is this?
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Nails shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me, for you. Hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.
And so what child is this? This is Christ the King. Now, in the celebration of this being Christ the King, of the promised one that has come, we have this little verse at the end. Nails and spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me and for you. You see, the new mother, Mary, this 14, 15-year-old girl who now had a child to care for, she had already been warned about how Jesus would be treated. She had already been warned that the people would reject him. She had already been warned that he would be killed. And in fact, the prophet that warned her said, it will be like a sword has pierced her own soul. What child is this? This is Christ the King. This is the Word made flesh. You see, the gospel writer puts it like this, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the question for us today, it's in fact the exact same question that we've asked of Jesus. You see, when we look at Jesus and we say, what child is this? Jesus looks back. He looks at each one of us and he says, what child is this? Or better yet, whose child shall you be? See, the Bible tells us that to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We have this three part here: believe, receive, and become. And what does that mean? Well, to believe in Jesus, it means so much more than simply believing that he existed. Did you know that next to nobody denies the fact that Jesus lived and Jesus really existed, and that Jesus really did the works that he did? Atheist scholars, non-Christian scholars believe that Jesus existed. That fact is not disputed. But it means to believe so much more. It means to believe and to agree with what Jesus said about himself. Because you see, Jesus said that he is the Messiah. Jesus said that he is the one that the prophets foretold. Jesus said that he is the Son of God, the Son of Man who will one day come in clouds of glory. To believe in Jesus means to agree with what he said about himself. But it means so much more than that. Did you know that the devil believes in Jesus? The devil believes in him greatly. So we can't stop at belief. We have to move forward. Not only do we believe in Jesus, we have to receive Jesus. Now, what does that mean? That means that we open up our lives. We open up our hearts to Jesus. We open up our hearts to the gospel, to everything that God has for us. When we receive Jesus, that means that we make the decision to follow him every day for the rest of our lives. When we receive Jesus, that means that we receive him as our complete leader and our complete forgiver. They go together. Jesus forgives us of our sins, not so that we'll go right back into them. Jesus forgives us of our sins that we might follow him into a new life. And when we do that, church, when we believe in Jesus, when we receive Jesus, then immediately we become a child of God. Immediately, the Holy Spirit seals us up and marks us as a member of God's family, one whom God looks on, and when he asks, "What child is this?" That one's mine. That's my daughter. That's my son. I want us to take a moment right now. I want to ask you, have you ever come to a place in your life where you've walked through that process, where you've believed in Jesus and received Jesus, and you've become a child of God, really a brother and sister of Jesus? If not, I want to ask you, what's keeping you? What's keeping you from pressing in to Jesus and becoming that child? You see, really, this is about asking the question, what's the purpose of my life? What am I here for? So many people look all over the place for purpose. Everybody looks for purpose. And so many look in different places, places where it isn't there. In fact, if 2020 has done anything, it's served to show us that the places where we look for hope, they're not there. Some people look to their jobs for hope, and those go away. Some people look to their own health for hope, and then a pandemic comes and threatens that. Some people look to the government for hope. Some people look to family for hope. Some people look to their friends for hope or their community for hope. 2020 has shown us we can't do any of that. The only place we can look for our hope is in Jesus. So I want to ask you, if you've never done that before, why not today? Or maybe you're here with us here, maybe you're with us online. And maybe you've been following Jesus for years, but for some reason, what once brought you life, what once brought you joy, what once brought you peace, it's just kind of faded out over time. What once got you excited about the day to see what God was going to do in your life, you can't remember the last time you thought about God. Whatever place you fall within your walk with Christ, I want to invite you to pray with me. And I want us to use this time right now to maybe for the first time, maybe for the 10th time or the 100th time, Use this time right now to see yourself walking with Jesus all over again. And pray something like this. We pray, Father, we see our brokenness, Lord. We see the sin that is within our hearts. We see how messed up this world can be and how broken it is, Lord. And God, we see wholeness with you. We see peace with you. We see joy with you, oh Lord. And so, God, today we decide. Today we feel. Today we embrace. We believe in Jesus today. Lord, we believe that you are everything you've said you are. Jesus, we believe that you are the promised one, the Son of God, the Messiah. Not only the one that was born in a manger, but the one that was many years later nailed to that cross. That cross that he bore for me and for you. And Lord, we believe that you didn't stay on that cross when you were buried in the tomb. Lord, you didn't stay in that tomb either. Lord, we believe that just a few days later, you rose from the dead. That you defeated death, God. That you conquered everything that would bring us down, that would take us away from you. So that every person who has ever lived might have free access to God himself. We believe in the good news of great joy for all the people. And Lord, we receive you today. We ask that you would be our complete leader, our complete forgiver, God. And Lord, we desire to be your child for the first time, for the 100th time. Remind us, Lord, that you are the loving Father that loves to care for his children. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if anybody here, if you prayed that, or anybody online, if you prayed that, I want you to connect with me. We want to celebrate with you. You see, the Bible tells us that every time somebody turns to Jesus, there's a huge celebration in all of heaven. That right now, the angels are rejoicing every time one person says yes to Jesus. You ever wonder what that celebration sounds like? I think it might sound something similar to here. I want to invite you as we close out our service to stand and let's worship together.